The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. UFC Vegas 62 preview show starts now.
What enthusiasm.
I mean, how can you not get fired up for anything after listening to that introduction from the man on the ones and twos, E. Casey Ladd? Welcome to the UFC Vegas 62 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. It's nice to be back after a rare weekend off for the UFC. Two out of the last three weekends we've had off. But now it is onwards and upwards. We got this card on Saturday. We're 8 days away from UFC 280. As a matter of fact, 8 days from right now, we will be probably into the third fight of the main card of that action-packed UFC 280 card. But before that, we got the go-home show, back of the Apex, big one at 125 pounds between Alexa Grasso and Viviane Araújo will be the main event. So thanks for joining us. I am Mike Kack, and joining me is a man that we've not seen in a little while. He retired from BTL, but he is not retired from doing preview shows. Let us say hello to the co-host of No Bets Barred, the host of Damn They Were Good, and a surefire first out BTL Hall of Famer, Jed Bishu. Hello, Jed.
Hey, buddy. It's good to see you. It's been so long. God, retirement's really great. Let me tell you, it is just spectacular. AK Lee out here doing the damn thing for MMAfighting.com, great website. And we've got an event to talk about, so it's a great day.
Now, this event looked a little bit different yesterday at this time.
Better. And you can just say the word morning, better.
Yes. When I started heck of a morning, there was a sense of positivity. And there still is. Like, this card compared to UFC Vegas 61 still is a better card on paper. I am more amped for that, for this card, than I was UFC Vegas 61. Main event with some stakes, interesting storylines and co-main events.
I'm not sure.
But unfortunately, the best fight on the card, the quote-unquote people's main event at 125 pounds between Brandon Royval and Askar Askarov, no longer happening. And to me, as good as I felt about this card heading in throughout the week, it was this fight in particular that put it over the top for me. And now we don't have it, Jed. So I know you're not AK. We don't drop gymnastic scores all that often. But what are your thoughts on this card as a whole now without this fight that everybody seemed to have circled on their fight cards?
Well, this is like a 4.6, maybe. This is a tough one, man. It's a really tough hang. The Askarov-Hoyval fight, that was doing some real heavy lifting as far as my level of care for this fight. Because the thing about the main event, and I feel like a really bad fan, it's not drawing me in. And like, I recognize that theoretically we even have a flyweight title fight like on the line. If Grasso wins, like, not a lot of people there in front of her to take that title shot against Shevchenko. I don't know. Alexa Grasso has never inspired me to be stoked about a fight card, and I don't know if she ever will. Similar with Viviane Araújo. It's just the main event isn't pulling me in. The co-main event seems a lot more likely to be sad than it is fun. And the best fight on the card, the fight I was by far the most interested in, is no longer there. So I just pulled up UFC 261 or Vegas 261 to see. I don't know, man. Like, this card might be worse than that one on paper. Now, that one also played out not well, so maybe this one will play out better. But, like, there are not a lot of things to hang your hat on as far as I'm concerned for this fight card. Except it is only 11 fights, and it is an early start time. So I'm actually virtue of those two things, I'll give it a 5.6. It will bump up one full point on my score.
Wow, that's a big point right there. That's a big jump from 4.6 to 5.6.
11 fights, 10 to 11 fights is ideal. 4 p.m. start time, this is A-plus stuff in that regard.
So we have this main event, Alexa Grasso versus Viviane Araújo. Both women coming off of good performances in their last fights. Both are up-and-coming fighters in this division. I remember there's a lot of hype around Araújo when she came in. Alexa Grasso, there's been hype around her ever since she got into the UFC. It feels like she's starting to come into her own a little bit. And most people believe that if we're talking title implications for this fight, they're more so on the Alexa Grasso side over the Viviane Araújo side. Do you agree with that sentiment? And either way, is the winner of this fight automatically a Caitlin Chookagian fan next week?
I mean, you have to be. Well, I don't know. I don't actually know if that works for Araújo because she just lost to Chookagian like very recently, right? So, I mean, I don't think Araújo gets a title fight with a win. I think she is at least one win away on top of beating Grasso this weekend. If Grasso wins, she might be able to sneak in there just because, honestly, like the next person who should get, like, if Chookagian wins next weekend, she should get a title fight. I don't think she's going to, but she should. She will have done everything that is worthy of and deserving of a title fight. But just because of how that first fight with Shevchenko went and because who Caitlin Chookagian is and she doesn't inspire people in that way, I don't think she gets it. I mean, I'm pulling it up now. That would be a 5-fight win streak since the Andrade KO. 6 of her last – or of 7 outside of Andrade. Like, she deserves a title fight. I think Grasso could sneak in over her because the only other person sort of even in the conversation is, like, maybe Rose Nam – is who? Oh, well, yeah, but that's – I'm talking if Chookagian wins.
Right.
But, you know, maybe Rose Namajunas makes the decision to come up. And it's really like Tyler Santos. Like, that's just getting a rematch would be maybe something that could happen. Like, division's wide open, so anything could happen. I just find it really hard to think that Araújo gets a title fight with a win regardless of what happens. And certainly if Manon Fiorot wins, then she's probably getting the shot.
So right now the betting lines have Alexa Grasso as a -230 favorite, the comeback on Viviane Araújo +195. And I've had a lot of people say that they feel this fight should be lined a little bit closer. It's more of a 50-50 fight than a -230 fight. Do you think the lines are you surprised by the lines, or is this sort of where you would have it?
The lines keep moving, which I find interesting. Let me pull something up really fast. I have it closer than this. I thought, like, when I was looking at it, I thought -190-ish would be in the neighborhood. This one has ballooned because -230 is pretty close to 70-30 win probability, right? Like a 70% chance for her to get the dubs. And that doesn't feel right to me. My other issue is I've just never been sold on Alexa Grasso, you know? It's just – she has a lot of talent, but her performances have never – they've never sung, right? They've just been there. So it's hard for me to think that she should be this big a favorite over somebody who is a very competent fighter in Viviane Araújo. But at the same time, Arujo's 35, and that's old for fighting in general. And certainly in this weight class, there's not like a big long history of people being that old and succeeding. So, you know, we'll see. I do think, you know, if I'm just betting, you know, even odds, I'm certainly picking Grasso to get the dubs. But I could see taking a shot on Arujo at this number. Except for you shouldn't take a shot at Arujo at this number. Whatever, I'm about to pull this up. If you're going to bet Viviane Arujo, just bet Viviane Arujo by decision because that number is going to be bigger. It's plus 300. Yeah, definitely do that instead. That's way better.
What do you think? What's the big difference maker in this fight? Why do you think people are leaning more towards Alexa Grasso here from a stylistic perspective? Because they don't have a lot of five-round main event experience. They're both the resumes are, I don't know, because Grasso has a lot of experience at 115. She's been in there with the current champion. A lot of people felt like she won that fight. She's been trying to live up to the hype that really that's been surrounding her since she got into the UFC. She's definitely getting more comfortable in there. But why do you think people view this as a 70% win prob for Alexa Grasso from a stylistic perspective?
I'm not sure they view it from a stylistic perspective so much as I think Grasso is a much bigger name than Arujo, right? Like, I think they tried to – Grasso, when Grasso came over from Invicta, there was a like, oh, this woman is going to be something. She's a real prospect in the division. She had some setbacks, et cetera, but for better or worse, like, she was somebody that there was some momentum put behind. And I never at least got the sense that the same was with Arujo coming out of, wasn't she like, did she fight Pancrase or something like that? Wasn't she? I'm gonna pull this up. Yeah, she's Pancrase before here. I never get the same vibes. I think it's just that Grasso is a more known commodity. I do think she's a better boxer. Like, that's, I think that that is like the clearest defined skill here advantage is the boxing of Grasso, but I don't think it's like a massive edge either. So I honestly don't have a great read on this fight because I don't feel like I know Grasso that well. I have consistently picked Viviane Araújo fights correctly. I think I've only missed one of her like 9 fights on Tapology where I've done really poorly picking Alexa Grasso fights. So, you know, that might be why I don't feel like I have a great read on this.
Yeah, it's because I'm looking at MMA decisions because I haven't gone back and watched the Araújo Chookagian fight, but I remember watching it live and I thought Araújo won that fight watching it live. So I'm looking at MMA decisions and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like 10-7 Araújo. It was a close fight. I thought Viviani won that fight. We could be looking at her in a whole different light because death taxes Chookagian by decision, even if she loses those fights. But the other loss was to Jessica Ai, and she just kind of laid an egg. And but the Andrea Lee fight was a
that's
good
a
one.
That's a tough L, though. Laying an egg against Jessica Ai is a tough.
Yeah.
Like, that's a tough one, man. Doesn't look good.
Yeah, that was a big upset. No one thought Jessica was going to win that fight, and she went out there and won the fight. And then the Chookagian fight happens. I thought Araújo won. And the Andrea Lee performance is the one that really stood out to me because she lost the first round. She got dropped badly. And then we had everything that sort of happened in the corner. She was coming off 2 back-to-back finishes against Antonina Shevchenko. Then she brutally finished Cynthia Calvillo. And it looked like Andrea Lee was kind of on the trajectory to get back to where she was before she lost to Joanne Calderwood at UFC 242. And then Araújo, I don't know if it was Tony Kelly or whatnot, but something sparked in her and the tides of that fight completely changed and Araújo just dominated the rest of the way. So if it comes down to 2-2 heading into the fifth round, this fight is closer than the betting line suggests and it goes down to the fifth round and it comes down to who's got the more dog in them. Do you feel like Alexa Grasso is more dog or do you feel like Viviane Araújo has a little bit more of that dog in her?
Probably Araújo. Maybe that's just sort of my feeling on Grasso too, because I, like I said, I have felt she is underachieved for me. Like, watching her fight, I always feel like there is something more and that she is not maximizing her talents and her skills. And maybe some of that is that she doesn't feel like she has the same level of dog in her that you would want. But, I mean, we're going to find out, because I do think this is going 25 minutes probably, and we're probably going to – it's going to be close. Like, it is very, very possible that the fifth round decides this fight. Honestly, it might even be probable that the fifth round decides this fight.
So that being said, what is the official pick? Is it Alexa Grasso to keep this going, maybe get her way into a title fight if Caitlin Chookagian wins, or does Viviane Araújo pull off the upset and stake her claim?
All week I've been saying Grasso's going to win. I think I'm going to change my mind right now, just because I think Grasso's a better boxer, and I don't think Araújo has like a huge opportunity to score like repeated takedowns on her. So I think that gives her like a stylistic edge. I feel pretty tough about backing older fighters. Like, this game is unforgiving as all hell, but this just feels like a spot that Alexa Grasso has been in and misstepped. Like, she's been doing it in her UFC run. Carla Esparza is the champ, so maybe you don't take anything away from that, but like Felice Herrig, that, you know, just had a couple of those. So I'm going to say that happens again. She's on the cusp of a title fight. Feels like a very Alexa Grasso thing to come in and underwhelm here.
I feel like if Alexa doesn't get her out of there in the first two rounds, I think this is Vivi's fight to lose. Like, I think Viviani can, like, because I feel like she's got a little bit more dog in her as well. And I feel like the longer the fight goes, I feel like it favors her a little bit more getting into the trenches. And if it gets to the fifth round, and I think you're right, I think we are going to have a 2-2 fight, especially at plus 195. I'm looking at it from like a betting perspective. It's Araújo, just the way we're sort of talking it out right now. So it's I have a feeling we're taking a shot.
As we talked it out. As we talked through it, it's like, I don't really know why I think Grasso is going to win. I'll change my mind. It's fine.
I mean, I feel like we're definitely taking a trip to Splitty City here. And if we're going to do that, then I'm going to back the dog here.
You know, that's a great idea. Let's take a look
at what we're doing here. We're talking out. We're talking out. Just
Viviane Araújo to win by Splitty or majority decision plus 1100.
Ooh, sprinkle. A little sprinkle.
There's some legs to that. Just saying, there's a little bit of leg on that. A little bit of meat on that bone.
Well, maybe we'll find out if Jed is going to put a little sprinkle on that. Let's go to the co-main event.
My book does not have that available to me, so that's on DraftKings.com.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Well, let's go to the co-main event. You have labeled this as potentially a very sad co-main event. We have Jonathan Martinez, the -205 favorite, taking on the always professional Hall of Famer, Cub Swanson, who comes back at +175. But the big story heading into this fight is that Cubby's making the drop to 135, shows up at the weigh-ins with the shades on, ready to go. He tweeted out about a half hour before actually showing up to the scale that he was on weight, didn't feel like waiting around at the Apex for hours and hours. So he shows up, makes the weight, championship weight, 135. He didn't look destroyed on the scale at all. Why do you think this fight's going to be sad?
Because Cub Swanson's old. is that not enough? Like, I don't know who this fight is for. Like, this is – he looked okay on the scale, so that's at least positive. But the amount of times that I can think of that a fighter late into their career has decided they're going to drop weight and it be both a good and effective change is exactly one, and it was exactly Jose Aldo. And even his first cut down didn't look great. He looked pretty tough in that fight. So I don't think that this is – Cub Swanson was not failing at featherweight because he was too small. Like, that was not the thing that held him back at featherweight ever. So now he's going to a division where he's – you can't do it. This doesn't work. Like, it – honestly, maybe the most remarkable thing of Jose Aldo's career was that he somehow literally reinvented his entire freaking fighting style at, you know, 15 years into the game, dropped to a faster weight class and thrived. Like, that's just – Cub Swanson is going to a weight class where, honestly, he's not even going to be the biggest bantamweight there. Like, there are going to be dudes who are bigger than him, and he's not going to be anywhere near as fast as what's going on around him. Like, this is the worst. As you get older, move up, don't move down. That's how physics and anatomy works, man. Like, he could have more success, I think, had he just put on a little bit of weight and gone to lightweight. But, and Jonathan Martinez doesn't suck. Like, that's the other end of this. Pretty good fighter. He's a pretty good fighter. He's going to kick him in the legs a bunch. And Cub's going to be old, and he's just going to look old. It's going to be sad.
So going back to 2014, lost to Frankie Edgar, lost to Max Holloway, wins four in a row, and then losses to Ortega, Edgar, Moicano, and Burgos, and then beats Crone. Daniel Pineda was coming off of a really nice performance. People are very high on this guy.
Cub, I love that we just breezed past beating Crone, because beating Crone Gracie is a whatever. Hey, he beat Gracie. That's
at
fine.
At the time, that win aged beautifully, but we just haven't seen Crone since. So knocks out Daniel Pineda after a nice comeback first round. He took a shot, took some punishment in that first round, came back and won the fight. Dealt with brutal leg kicks in that fight. Came back and got the finish.
Man.
Loses to Giga. Giga was a murderer at the time. And then he came out with maybe the best finish of his career in his last fight against Darren Elkins, who has probably seen better days at this point. So I don't know, man. Like, I think
the important thing you just said there, though, the Pineda leg kicks. Jonathan Martinez is good at kicking people in the legs. This is gonna be bad. He's way faster. This is gonna be bad, man. Like, look at those losses. Were any of those losses because Cub was too small? Frankie Edgar? No. Brian Ortega? No. Like, Hanato and Marcano, maybe you could make the argument.
Shane Burgos.
Marcano's huge. I don't think he lost to Shane Burgos because he was smaller than Shane Burgos. Shane Burgos is just a tough MF-er, man. Like, that dude is just a hard guy to fight. Giga Chikadze, I don't think the size was the difference maker there. And he beat Darren Elkins, who, you know, also a little bit faded, but like the size was not the issue. He's going to a faster division. That is going to be a huge problem for him, I think. Like, that's going to be a very big issue for him. And he's 38 years old. Like, this just seems... Like, I don't, like, what's the purpose? Does he think he's making a title run? Surely he doesn't think he's making a bantamweight title run. Like, that would be an insane thought to have, right?
No, I think he wants to fight Uriah Faber. That's what I think he wants to do. Like, I think he's doing this to possibly, because that was the main reason he wanted to drop
Uriah Faber.
I have no issue with that. They should have made it. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know why they didn't. That.
Also, do you think Uriah gives a shit about fighting at 35? Most of his career was at featherweight. Like, you fight him at 40 or whatever, just fight Uriah Faber. That's a great fight. Makes total sense. This fight makes less.
Yeah, it's an interesting pairing, especially for the bantamweight debut. If we're going to do the Faber fight or something like that, I get it, but... I don't know, man.
That's a great fight. I love that fight. That's an awesome fight. Let's do that.
So you are clearly not picking Cub Swanson here. You are picking Jonathan Martinez. So my question to you is...
Do you remember when Vanderlei dropped to middleweight and how that worked out? And it was awful. It sucked ass.
But so how does this end? Does Cub Swanson make it to the final horn? The way you're talking, I don't know if you think he will.
I mean, he's still really tough. But I'm going to say yes, just because Martinez hasn't been a huge finisher in the UFC and Cub is still tough. But I think it's going to be a 30-27, 30-26 kind of performance for Martinez here.
There's some, I get where you're coming from and I understand the betting lines are where they're at. And I think Jonathan is a very good fighter. I think he's getting better. I think he's getting a little more patient with the way he competes, the leg kicks. But if you can entice Jonathan Martinez into a fun brawl, he will be happy to do that. And that's where I think Cub Swanson can shine. Because I know Davey Grant hits very, very hard. But at the same token, Jonathan Martinez has been dropped a few times in his fights. He leaves himself open for some big shots. So to me, I feel like Cub is in this thing now. This is something where Cub's going to have to get him out of there in the first half of the fight, or he's probably not going to win. But I think there's going to be openings in there within the first half of this fight for him to land a big shot and potentially send the MMA nostalgias home happy. So just because I'm feeling a little bit crazy, I'm going to pick Cub Swanson to get the finish here, because I honestly think it's the only way he's going to win this fight is if he gets him out of there and lands a big shot. But the longer this fight goes, 100%. Favors Jonathan Martinez for sure, but I think Cub's got some magic in him. I think he's got some magic in him, so I'm gonna take.
Maybe cool.
I'm gonna fake take a dog shot here with my imaginary money and put it on the Cub Swanson at plus +175. Monopoly dollars. What's the line on Cub Swanson by KO TKO?
Let me pull that up for you. It's a great question because I agree. If he wins, it has to be that. Like, I don't think he's possibly winning a decision here. So if you're gonna bet Cub, just go ahead and bet that. +550. So you get a lot of extra juice on that. I would take that over a Cub bet at 175. So
yeah,
I'm a little surprised that Cub by decision is the favored prop. That seems odd, but hey, Vegas probably knows more than me.
We have Dusko Todorovic versus Jordan Wright on this main card.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be very fun. We have Misha Cirkunov against Alonzo Menafield. Speaking of
that's gonna be violent.
Really needs a win. That's Misha Cirkunov right now. And
he's done.
Because he's like you cooked. Said, yeah, a guy who goes from 205 to 185 for a couple fights, loses.
That's even worse.
Go back. Yeah. I know how you feel about that.
That is even worse. It is an awful thing for someone who's 38 years old to decide I'm going to cut to a new weight class. That's just never going to ever work out. What's even worse is when somebody tries dropping to a weight class, doesn't have success, and then bumps back up. Because then what they're saying is I keep losing and I don't know why. And the actual answer is you don't have it anymore. And that's okay. Like, all of us lose our fastball at some point in time. And that's what happens every time a fighter does this. Not like a Kevin Holland. I'm going to cut to 170, but I'll take some 185 fights because I just want to be active and fun. This was a very clear, Serkinov was not succeeding light heavyweight. I'm going to make an effort to be a middleweight. I lost twice as soon as I did that. This sucks to make this weight, and I'm not good here either. I'm just going to go back. He's done. He's lost 6 of 8 or something like that. Like, he's just done. Man's cooked. This is going to be a violent knockout for Minifield.
So that's going to be the first fight of the main card. But with the unfortunate loss of Brandon Royval versus Askar Askarov, the second fight of the main card will be a bantamweight bout between Rafael Assuncao and Victor Henry, getting the old bumski here. And I know you talked a little bit about it on your betting column. You talked a little bit about it on No Bets Bar, but we were talking a little bit before we hit record here. I like Victor Henry a lot. The fact that he's just now getting into the UFC, I thought he probably deserved to get there sooner than he did. He had a great debut against Jaione Barcelos on short notice, got the job done. But Victor Henry, from a betting perspective, is he a minus 410 favorite against Rafael Assuncao? Like, I know Rafael Assuncao has lost 4 in a row, and if you look at the resume of defeats, he's only lost to guys who are either on the come up, who people are very high on, they're former champions, they're fighting for titles coming up in 8 days. These are the guys he's losing to. Why are we here? Am I crazy for thinking that minus 410 is just way too wide here?
I think it's the second worst line on the entire card. I get Victor Henry being a favorite. We were talking about beforehand, like, I'm less high on Victor Henry. I think he's fine. Like, he's just a solid bantamweight. Like, he's just a solid bantamweight. Like, that is who Victor Henry is supposed to be. But he had a great debut performance in the organization, so he's riding really high right now. Assuncao hasn't won in forever. Even when he was one of the top five bantamweights in the world, you just forgot that he was one of the top five bantamweights in the world because he was just that kind of fighter. Like, nobody, his performances weren't wildly memorable. His game is just fundamental soundness. Like, that is the all his game was not A plus anywhere. It's just everything I do is really solid. I don't make mistakes. I take advantage should you have them. It's one of those games that's great and like what you should teach young fighters to fight like, but it's also one that by definition nobody remembers or cares about. And if you ain't gonna back that up with anything on the mic, and Assuncao sure wasn't, then that's why you never fight for a title. Like, that is why Rafael Assuncao never fought for a belt, was exactly what I laid out right there. So I understand how the line got here, and I do think Victor Henry should probably be favored because Rafael Assuncao's 40. That's tough. It's just tough to be 40 in this weight class. It's very difficult to fight well. But he shouldn't be an 80% favorite over Assuncao. Like, that line feels really off. I think this is a 60-40 fight, maybe 65-35. But, like, I can absolutely see a world where Assuncao isn't – because it's not like Victor Henry is going to, like, wildly out-athlete him, right? Like, he's probably – he's a better athlete at this point. I'm willing to say that. But, like, Cody Garbrandt, when he fought Assuncao, it just – they were on two different speeds. Like, they were not playing the same game. Like, Victor Henry's probably not going to look like that. And so – and it's not like his technique is – better. I was going to say, like, way better. I just don't think his technique's any better. So, and this fight's a lot closer than that, unless Assuncao's fully cooked. Like, he might be. He's 40 years old. He hasn't won in a long time. He hasn't fought in, like, almost a year. He might just be cooked. But I feel like he's still got a little juice left in the tank. And, you know, well, he's not fighting Ricky Simon and Cody Garbrandt, like these otherworldly athletes. I think he's going to do a lot better as a result.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, and I'm with you, I'm not saying Victor Henry shouldn't be favored minus 250, yeah, somewhere around there. I'm cool with, but minus 410 just really, really jumped out at me. So I think, like, this was the low-key banger for sure when we had Royval versus Askarov, and now it's on the main card, so I don't know if we can call it that. But is there a low-key banger here? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a fight per se. It could be just like a fighter that is flying under the radar that you're just looking forward to watching tomorrow.
No. This undercard is a bit of a tough hang. Tatsuya Taira, CJ Vergara. I know Vergara missed weight. That fight's still probably incredibly fun. That probably would have been my low-key banger call, just because I think Tyra's going to tap him. But if he doesn't, he's probably going to get knocked out. Because like that's just a world that's going to happen here. That fight's really fun. I will, just to bring up another topic, because I just said that the Rafael Sun Sal line is the second worst betting line on the entire card, let me present to you the first worst betting line on the entire card. A little man named, if you listened to No Bets Barred, this will surprise you, because I put this man in a parlay, but that parlay is entirely a gimmick because there are two fighters with the last name Rodriguez, and so I just parlayed them up because I thought that was funny. I have no idea why Pete Rodriguez is a -675 favorite over any human being alive. That's not entirely true. I know why, because Mike Jackson is Mike Jackson and the world does not respect him, at least as a fighter. And I'm not saying that the world should, but like, Pete Rodriguez shouldn't be this big a favorite over anybody who is actually knows how to sort of fight. He just hasn't earned that. And he may well come and knock Mike Jackson out like immediately. It's entirely possible. But he's fought like a combined 4 minutes over not a lot of great competition. And the one good guy he fought, granted, Jack Della Maddalena is a really good fighter, but he got the screws put to him. It's just we get this a lot, and it's like I bet on Mike Davis also, just as a, because like out of principle, I don't think Mike Davis is good at fighting, but like
Mike Jackson,
I don't think Mike Jackson's good at fighting, but like -675 is a, like, that is a number that should really exclusively be reserved for people like Valentina Shevchenko and John Jones and stuff like that, not a 4-1 dude who's been fighting for like 2 years. Like, that's just not how this game is. Insane, and anything could happen, and that's just outrageous.
Yeah. It depends what your tastes are. If you're a fan of wrestling and takedown opportunities and takedown attempts, you're going to get them in bunches with the Nick Maximoff, Jacob Malkoon fight. I think Malkoon's probably he's a dog, so I think that's worth a look from a betting perspective. Manny Martinez, Brandon Davis, someone's going 9-9 in that fight. I feel pretty confident in that. And then Joe Anderson Brito is a guy that I'm very high on. So we'll see how he does. He's taking on a short notice newcomer, Lucas Alexander. I think Pierre Rodriguez, Sam Hughes is actually going to be a fun fight. I know Pierre's got the better record, but we'll see. Sam's looked good in her last couple fights, so she's got some dog in her. She's moved camps, seems to be working for her. So we'll see what happens. And I'm very high on Tatsuro Taira. The weight miss is unfortunate. Dope. Yeah, he's real good. And Vergara is a knockout artist. So I know it's like technically a flyweight under, but this is...
It's not. No, I texted my co-host on No Bets Bar, Connor Burks, this morning. It's like, actually, we don't have any flyweight unders this week, since one fight left and this one is now no longer. So it's really the best of both worlds, because if it hits, it's for sure a flyweight under. And if it doesn't, well, it wasn't a flyweight under. So
there you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, well, let's go to the peeps. Let's see what the peeps are thinking right now. I know a lot of Victor Henry fans in here. We got Casey in the house, yeah. Badestash, and MMA Media, and all of MMA.
All of media.
All of media.
And all of everything. Media.
Yeah,
I'm not willing to say all of the world.
Is Tom Selleck a journalist?
I was about to say, Tom Selleck is still around, but...
Yeah, but
he's old news, though.
I could ankle bake him.
Mr. Baseball? Come on.
So good. Sam, what is it?
Sam Elliott?
Yeah, Sam Elliott. Come on. Sam Elliott has the best stash in the world.
We can't deny that one.
That's true.
All right. Okay, do the questions.
What are we thinking here?
What did I get? All right, here we go. Hold on. it all sized.
Everyone's like, everyone's like, can we just get to 280 for the love of God?
I know, right?
Mike and Jed, do you see Askarov moving up to bantamweight and do Royval versus Cara France 2 for UFC 284? Do you think they'll bump? I mean, this is 2 out of 3 fights. This is the second time Askarov's missed.
I brought this up kind of before we started recording. I was like, yeah, why isn't Askarov getting the Aspen Ladd treatment, in the sense of like, I can't believe you're screwing over all these fighters. You got to move up and wait. You know, I mean, at what point is this on the UFC now? At this point, if Askarov's,
I mean, CJ Ferguson should also have to go up because he's missed. This is his second weight miss as well. So both these guys should probably move up, but there should and will. And
yeah.
I think Vergara will have to move up. I think Askarov's going to have a little bit of a longer leash, but yeah. And Casey, I'll present this here because Casey brought up an interesting point earlier, because when Aspen Ladd missed weight to get for, you know, the second time or third time or whatever, I mean, it was just uproar on Aspen Ladd. But for Askarov, it was more heartbreak than uproar. But I think it's more because people just wanted to see Brandon Royval bring chaos to the cage. Is that what it is, Jed? It's just people are just more upset that Royval is not fighting more than Askarov missed weight
or had
struggles?
It's also no one cares about Askarov. Like, that's just the cold, hard truth. Like, there aren't Askarov fans, at least that we interact with. I'm sure he has a lot of fans in the other hemisphere of the world or whatever, but like, no one cares here. So it's, and I'm not even saying that Aspen Ladd has fans in that regard, but like, Aspen Ladd was easier to pile on. She had all the other stuff going on, and it all happened in like a pretty condensed window. And she was just a more out there person. She was more in the spotlight person, whereas Askarov hasn't been. I mean, even when he was like 18-1 or whatever his outrageous record was before he finally got, nobody cared. So it's just, it's the benefit to not talking and not being interesting is when you do have slip ups and screw the pooch, nobody talks about it because you're already not interesting. So no one cares.
I will say one thing. I can't dive into everything that I've been told about this whole situation, but one thing I will say is that the talk of Askarov turning down a catchweight fight is not accurate. So I'll put that out there from people that I've spoken with. That is just not wholly accurate, and it's not somebody from Askarov's team that told me that. So just putting that out there, that talk of they offered him a catchweight and he turned it down is just not wholly accurate. So just wanted to put that out there. So I did see that a lot today. That was the grief more than anything, but mostly because I think people just wanted to see Brandon Royval fight. And if there was a possible for a catchweight there, that was just, you know, pile up on him. Oh, he didn't want to take a catchweight fight. That's not really the truth.
And this is all based on Royval's tweet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's always been this big issue of the UFC. Like, don't you have like all these PR people? Like, I don't know.
Do they? They let Dana White go out and talk like all the time, which should, like, they shouldn't. He should never speak. I don't know.
All right.
She's no idea.
Now for Royval, would you rather see Royval Cara France 2?
Don't do this.
What about, no. Or would you rather do Royval Pantoja 2 in Brazil?
I like that a lot better. I'm not entirely sure Pantoja accepts that fight just because I think he has the next title fight. Like, he's the backup for this one. So I'm not sure. Maybe he will take it. And that fight makes a lot more sense. Cara France should fight Alex Perez. Like, that's, don't, he lost. Make him fight somebody else who has lost. Like, don't ruin Royval or even make that a thing. Royval's doing well. Like, let him rise. Let things move. Let the weight class churn. So, yeah. I mean, the fight would be fun because the first fight was fun. But no, don't do this fight.
What happened with Manel Kopp? Didn't he fight get dropped out last moment for him? Like, where is he? He just
sounds
kinda
right.
He was like right there. Everyone was talking about him, and then he kind of disappeared again. Is he just?
Yeah, there was a. I just want to pull up to make sure I have this correct.
Yeah, and Bontorin couldn't make weight, and then Bontorin
kidney issues. Yeah,
and they released sponsoring because of that.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to fight, and then there was a positive test, but it wasn't anything that, like should have kept him out of any fights. Yeah. You know, Vegas is cool with him fighting on other cards, but yeah, that the Bontorin thing was exactly.
Yeah. All I was saying.
That's the one I want. That's the one I've been clamoring for. That's the one. That's my on to the next one pick. I don't care where either of these guys are ranked. That's the fight I want to see. Is Roy Valdez.
Yeah, it'd be really fun, but that's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, last thing on Askarov, because actually we talked about Aspinlad missing weight. We talked about Bontorin missing weight.
No.
Do I see Askarov getting cut? Probably not.
But we just said no one cares about him, so that's why I'm kind of wondering.
He's still a top 15 flyweight. I don't think they cut him for this. Okay. I think if he does it again, yeah, I think he has a little more leash on this.
Right. Yeah, he's not the most. I mean, before he got to the UFC, he was super fun to watch. His first couple fights were super fun to watch. The Kaikar France fight was entertaining,
way fun
but
before
more,
he got to the UFC.
Yeah, but he's awesome. Yeah, he's a top. I know he's top 15. Obviously, he is, but I think he's probably one of the 7 or 8 best 25.
He's undeniably one of the top 10. Right, undeniably, yeah, 100%. One of the 10 best flyweights in the world. All
right. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to get cut, but.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I don't want the man to lose his job. I'm just, but you know, there's UFC does that stuff, so that's all.
Conversations need to happen, though.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Go.
This goes back to, I guess, back to the main event, and more, I guess, the interest or lack of interest.
Would casuals care for the winner of Alexa versus Viviani getting a title shot? Does the winner have name value that those fans would care about?
No.
But here's the thing, but is in this division in particular, I don't think it matters as much as any other division, because it's all about Valentina. It's just line them up for Valentina Shevchenko right now.
Did the casuals care about Tyler Santos? No.
No, but interesting now, like, no. Right?
I actually don't know Alexa Grasso's popularity in Mexico. I know she does
She could be popular in Mexico.
Yeah, I just don't know. So I'm kind of speaking on my ass a little bit when I talk about her popularity or how much the fans care about her, because I don't know how she's perceived in Mexico. But is the UFC, but it just seems if UFC is ever planning to go back to Mexico City, like
they should not. Please don't do that.
Everyone under 155.
Just don't do title fights at Elevation. Don't do any fights at Elevation. Like, you could take a fight night card there with people that don't matter, but don't do real fights that matter at Elevation. It just makes everything wonky and stupid.
There's almost an asterisk by all those fights. Anything that happens next. Yeah, I know what you mean.
The big fights are the ones that get the most attention, like Kane and stuff. But, like, the reality is the dudes at the top of those cards, they're the ones who are best able to travel out 2 months in advance. They're fighting for a belt or whatever, so they can go to Utah for a month and acclimate. Like, Contender Series bro making 10 and 10 or 12 and 12, whatever it is, can't afford to go to Mexico City for a month to be prepared. So he's just going to roll it off the street, and it's chaos. It's just not – don't do that shit, man. Just book them in real places. I don't care how much Utah pays you to come. Just book real fights in real places.
Is there any chance for UFC to have a pay-per-view in Mexico that's not Mexico City?
Not a super well versed in that.
Yeah, on the
land. But it seems unlikely.
Yeah, it does. All right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I mean, we're not going to get to the point of 125 being, I mean, it's interesting, obviously, because Santos gave her a run. But 3 years from now, if Valentina's still out here defending her title and she's sticking around at 125, I mean, we're gonna have some interesting competition for her.
I will say that as much as I'm against the Mexico City thing, if Moreno beats Figgy in the Tetralogy and they took 2 flyweight title fights to Mexico City, Moreno versus Pants and Shevchenko versus Alexa Grasso, that would be a pretty dope event. it would sell like 40 pay-per-views, but it would be kind of cool. And that would be the least affected. The flyweight divisions would probably be the least mucked up by the elevation.
Hello. Is that golfer back there? Is that the junior golfer?
Hello. Watch this. So watch this card.
Are you doing a magic trick on my bald head?
Sonic electricity, and all of a sudden you get to...
No one can see what you're doing, though.
I don't know what's happening.
It was there before you got on camera. I can attest to that. Thank you.
Nailed it.
Live TV, baby. Live TV.
Love it.
I was also going to say for Mexico City, there's also Nunes versus Aldana kind of sitting out there too.
Oh God, that would be insane. Because Nunes would lose. That's definitely a way Nunes loses.
Yeah. If I'm Nunes, you'd never take that fight.
Dude, if I'm Julian Pena, I'm just like, I'll only fight you in Mexico. Let's do it. Let's go to Mexico City. You will wail on me and be exhausted.
I would pick Pena over Nunes if it was a Mexican.
100%. Yeah, you're right. I would pick her
over there. Yeah, you're
Nunes
right.
would bomb on her for 10 minutes and be gassed.
Yeah.
Because Julianna Pena is the toughest person alive, apparently.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple more.
Okay.
All right, real quick. Try to get this done.
Static electricity. Then we'll
try. You're still half off the screen.
Yeah. Do it in front of your dad's face.
Yep. There you go. It's floating.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, that actually looked a little better that time. There we go.
All right. Yes, you got a round of applause.
If there was no string, I would have done this.
Yeah, but there is no string. All right. Thank you very much. I have learned a lot about static electricity, science. Did you think you'd get a science lesson here on this Vegas 62 preview
show?
We're a podcast network
of science.
That's right.
If you want science, listen to No Bets Bar. They got science.
I unveiled like 3 new things this week, so it's awesome.
Do you have anything else?
Because the fans want to know,
how is Mike Jackson still in the UFC? Because he's coming off a win.
Win.
That's why.
A win. You can't give
me a win. Plus 700, baby. Cashing them tickets. Again, just so we can circle this back, I bet Mike Jackson last time because Dean Barry shouldn't be a minus 850 favorite over any dude in the UFC. And I know that it was stupid, but I got the W, and I'm just going to keep riding that train because Pete Rodriguez shouldn't be a minus 700 favorite. It's just not how this should work.
Maybe you can get a second straight win here. Who knows?
It would be incredible if Mike Jackson just puts together a win streak in the UFC. It's unbelievable.
If he gets just kicked in the balls in the first 30 seconds and the fight's called, he gets a win from that, or something. I don't know.
I would love it. I would love it so much.
That fight is going to be weird. Something weird is going to happen in that fight, either way.
Forrest Daniels, I have the same question, though. We don't have to give him a fight. I know he won. We could just cut him. It's okay. But, you know.
Hey, Mike Jackson, still in the UFC. Mickey Gall, not. Look at that.
Is Mickey Gall not in the UFC?
He was released.
No, he's
one of those.
His contract, he didn't part ways. His contract's just up. There's a very good chance his next fight's in the UFC from all accounts. So he wasn't caught. He wasn't released.
Just contract ended. All right.
He can't go to BKFC. I don't think that's really a pull for him. I don't even think he can win a PFL tourney. So, yeah, maybe the UFC is the best play for him.
All right. What else we got here? Just some people actually. I know we're kind of dogging the card.
Good for you, buddy.
No, I like this card better than 61. I do like it better than 61. It's chaos. And again, we've made this point many times, and I will reiterate it because it makes sense now, because we're seeing it in front of our eyes. If you watch NFL football, the football analysts can talk about games not looking good on paper for Thursday night. And it just turns out that the last couple of Thursday night games have been just the worst sporting events in the last 15
that
years.
That depends on your perspective, because let me tell you, the group chat between me and my friends last night was electric. Because that game, man, football at its finest.
There's this episode of, because I'm obviously older, so I watched Boy Meets World, and there's an episode of Boy Meets World where Eric Matthews is playing pool with Frankie Stakito, and no one sunk a ball for like 5 hours. That's what like Thursday Night Football is like right now. No one sinks a billiards ball for 5 hours.
I really thought that the Commanders were going to miss the field goal at the end of the first half, and it would just be tied 0-0. I was like, I can't believe this is incredible. So if you have a great group of friends that you can text about bad cards with, this is a great card for you.
I actually think it's going to be a fun one.
I'm honestly I like the Maximov Malkoon fight. I love two grindy wrestlers when they have to fight each other, because usually something stupid is going to happen.
Could be ugly.
Yeah, I love ugly fights. I think ugly fights are fun to watch.
Ugly fights are hilarious.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
I think Malkoon's good. He was very close to beating Brendan Allen. He was very close. That third round came apart for him, but he was very close to beating Brendan Allen. And Brendan Allen, who has the title of the 16th best middleweight in the world after submitting Krzysztof Jotko, that would have been a finely aged victory.
I'm not with you guys. This is if you've nothing to do on Saturday, or if you're just into this card, I never want to yuck your yum, baby. You have a great Saturday. If you're on the fence, you don't know what to do, take this weekend off. 280s next weekend. Save your time and energy for that one. Hang with the family this week. Go to MMAfighting.com for all your coverage needs, and you're golden.
No, I wasn't saying people should cancel their dinner plans to make this card. I was just saying if you are going to be home, though, there's no other channels
if you have nothing to
watch. Yeah.
That's the thing. Fighting is like cold pizza. If you had nothing else, it's not bad. Like, it's never bad.
That's a good one.
Right. The best thing that is going to come out of this card is the anticipation levels for UFC 280 are going to be even higher, because you know they're going to spend a ton of time promoting this card, tons of video packages, tons of stuff getting you ready. This is the go home show, and they're using this like WWF used to do in the 90s with their other shows. They would spend time, you'd have like a match or two, but for the most part, it was promos promoting the pay-per-view, showing packages to get you ready for the pay-per-view so you could spend your money. And the UFC is going to do that big time on this card tomorrow, and I don't blame them.
So good. 280 is ridiculous. So good.
We're going to have some fun next week.
I desperately need Islam Makhachev to win, or I'm going to have to eat a lot.
This is your Glover. This is your Glover Teixeira taps Yuri in the first round moment right now.
I still feel unbelievably confident in it, but if I'm wrong, it's gonna suck for like a solid week and a half on these internet streets. It's gonna be a tough hang.
Well, that's next week. Do we have anything more for tomorrow? Or are we good?
Can we just start talking about 280? Because it rules. We could lose two fights on it, but it's still a dope card.
Oh, man. And it's a daytime card, too. So we get
even better.
Yes. So good.
Even better.
This is quick. Just finish this off. It's a quick one.
Would Mike or Jed look better with Cubs tattoos?
I don't think I can pull off tattoos.
You can't do the palm trees?
I
have two tattoos.
They have Cubs tattoos.
Yeah, you gotta.
Can you get like ATO on your back? I don't know.
You gotta be svelte.
I wouldn't do that anyway.
You gotta be a little shredded. Maybe a month from now. Who knows? Because I'm trying. That's what I'm focusing on right now. But
his Killer Cub logo is sweet. Palm trees
really
less,
sweet.
I have a Killer Cub hat.
Yeah. I wouldn't get that tattooed on me. But, you know, I'm just not a tattooed guy.
Yeah, I have two. One I'm happy about. One, I had too many libations.
You want a socks hat? Just got a socks hat?
It's a Celtic cross. Tribute to Nana. The other one was St. Patty's Day. spring break when I was like 19 years old.
Please tell me NCAA you got like the Patriot hiking the football logo.
No, it's a stupid tribal band on my arm that I had way too many. Yeah, but I had too many libations that day that the tattoo artist refused to finish it. So it's only like 45% done because he's like, I can't do it anymore because my blood was so thin. But that was a long time ago. Is I keep trying to convince my wife, let me do something with it.
I don't know what you would do with it, but do something.
It's so terrible. It's so awful. I hate it. I love the other
one. I mean, it's a great story, though. So bad.
I drank a lot of Killians. BC got upset in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And it was rough. I was 19.
That's just how that happens. When you're 19 and something like that happens, I know.
Yep. There you go.
All right. I think we're good. I think we're good, gentlemen.
I think we're good, too. All right, I think we're good, too.
8 days until Islam Makhachev beats the shit out of Charles Oliveira.
Yes. 8 days till something very cool happening on MMAfighting.com as well. We can't reveal that yet. I'm being told Wednesday on the MMA Hour all will be revealed, so stay tuned for that.
I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. So thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern, for the People's Pre-Fight Show. And then 11 fights. And we'll talk about it after the fact as well. So for Jed, for Casey, go ahead.
Before we leave, can we get a peek?
In the chat? Oh god, sure.
Send this out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Well, see, can't even tell it's 45% done, because you know,
it's done in the right places. If I wear like a sleeveless, it just looks horrible. My wife like makes me turn. Like I have to be on the right side of the family photo if I'm wearing a tank. It's that bad. But more tattoo stories tomorrow afternoon. For Jed, for Casey, I am Mike Keck. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.